It's terrible turn of events, right? Because it's not only another city that is being attacked. It's one of Sudan's remaining sanctuary that is basically becoming a war zone. Wad Madani was hosting 84,000 people who had fled the war of Khartoum. Plus, it's a quite a very densely populated city. It's one of the largest cities of Sudan, and it's also one of the most important economic hub of Sudan. And what it means right now is that this is no longer safe. My teams they basically have had to flee Wad Madani in the past few days, and they are right now in the nearby state in Sennar. And what they're telling me is that they're seeing people coming every hour, thousands of families, absolutely panicked, terrorized. Many of them so tired because it's the second time that they have to do that in the past 8 months, second time that they had to run for their life in the past 8 months. And they're coming to Sennar and they don't think they're safe there. So they're coming with few bags, sometimes not even few bags. We have a lot of people right now crammed in schools, on the side of the road, in the open. It's getting cold right now and at night, so we're also scared for them. And they actually are eager to leave even further away. So I was on the phone with my colleague just right now, and he was explaining to me the situation in Sennar. Basically, men trying to jump on trucks, the first trucks that they could see in order to go further away. Families running after taxis and, cramming themselves into taxis and cars in order to leave. The panic is really there, and it's very understandable given what has happened over this past 8 months.
And this crisis has deteriorated really rapidly. Yesterday, UN OCHA was reporting 20,000 people were displaced in Al Jazeera, especially around Wad Madani. Today, we're getting reports that the RSF forces, the Rapid Support Forces, seem to have seized control of Wad Madani and the army base there, and we're seeing the numbers shooting up. Do you have the latest displacement numbers from Wad Madani and Al Jazeera at large?
Yeah, absolutely. So the situation has completely unraveled since Friday at a speed that I think nobody was ready for. Sudan was already one of the largest displacement crises in the world. There was already 6 million people displaced in Sudan and across the border. In the past 3 days, there's been 300,000 people displaced. So what it means is that we were already in more, in one of the world's top records, and this is going to get even worse. And we don't anticipate those numbers to slow down in the coming weeks. Quite the contrary, we're seeing now that people who are fleeing, they're on a run for a long time because they don't think that that anywhere is safe at the moment. So what we're looking at is larger number of people forced to flee, and who have probably nowhere to go at the moment as well.
And tell me about your response. I know all aid operations in the state have been suspended because of the fighting. What can you do, and what are you doing at the moment? I know aid agencies are positioning themselves in neighboring states until the situation allows. They come back. And we're hearing desperate pleas from aid organizations like yours, like UN OCHA, got condemnations from governments, including the government of the United States. What is your response right now, and what more must be done?
Yeah, it's been heartbreaking that we have had to suspend our operation in Wad Madani. It's heartbreaking because Wad Madani was a humanitarian hub. Because there were so many people in need. I was there 2 months ago, and I could see how there was hundreds of family parked in a school, for example, and they had nothing. They had nothing but the assistance that they were receiving from humanitarian organizations. Now we've seen a series of statements from the international community, basically condemning and especially condemning basically the attack in Wad Madani. What we need is to go beyond the statement. We need the international community to collectively use that diplomacy to bring the parties to the conflict at the table and make sure that two things basically are safeguarded. One, civilian lives and civilian infrastructures. And that includes allowing people to flee and to flee safely, which is not the case at the moment. And second, we need to have guarantees by the parties of the conflict that international humanitarian law will be respected and that basically humanitarian assistance can reach those in need without being attacked, without being looted. And at the moment, that sort of international pressure is missing.